Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Violent street crime and Mayor Lori Lightfoot's collapse in the face of it, her inability to handle it, her endorsement of soft-on-crime Soros prosecutor Kim Fox as a means of kissing boss Tony's hand and suing for peace, these are the issues facing Chicago. And the number one issue in the Chicago mayoral campaign is street crime. Because if you don't feel safe, if you're constantly worried about becoming a victim, with those thousands upon thousands of emergency 911 calls going unanswered because of lack of police, well, there's a problem. The city will die. And there's another issue. With progressive Chicago media, meaning all media, in the tank for either Lightfoot or Chuy Garcia, another critical issue sticks its snaky head up and is about to bite. With the city of Chicago circling the drain on finances, crime, and schools, and with the media broken on the rocks of their own identity politics, how can the people of Chicago trust what they're reading or hearing at this most critical time? The city is in the balance, on the precipice, and thousands upon thousands of Chicagoans still want to stay. But they need credible information to make decisions for themselves and for their families. And that is what brings me to a tweet from the well-respected independent news outlet CWB Chicago about Lightfoot's commander of the Chicago Police First District, David Harris, and he was boasting about the reduction of crime. CWB called his claims pure fantasy. His is the district that takes in the Loop, Bronzeville, and the adjacent lakefront areas. Commander Harris showed up on Steve Cochran's morning show on WLS AM 890 to brag about his leadership and crime reductions. He reduced crime more than 40%, he said. And Cochran was completely gullible, naive, trusting, credulous. Credulous is defined in the dictionary as having or showing too great a readiness to believe things. A ceremony staged for credulous tourists, or perhaps for voters determined to play the chumbalone for Lightfoot and WLS. But here's the thing. As potential victims of crime, as people who are trying to decide whether you're going to stay or go, whether you were looking for leadership out of City Hall on issues that you care about, can you really afford to be a chumbalone? For your family's sake, I mean. According to the CWB Chicago story that they tweeted out, and I'm reading from here, quote, a CPD commander claimed on WLS AM this week that crime has dropped 44% under his leadership. It is actually up 30%, unquote. And as a former WLS host myself, I read that CWB report and found it to be excruciatingly painful. Quote, when talk show host Steve Cochran asked Commander David Harris what he credited the incredible statistical improvement to, Harris replied, quote, well, I'm going to have to brag a little bit. One, my leadership. His leadership. Among the leadership tools Harris said he employs are walking the hallways at the police station, leading from the front. Is that how you lead? From the front in the hallway? Okay, Commander. And awarding a giant wrestling belt to the cops who do a good job. Perhaps it's appropriate that Harris would use a wrestling belt, said CWB, because like wrestling, the crime statistics he listed on WLS were fake, CWB said. Listen to this. Brag on your numbers a little bit, Cochran's co-host told Harris in the Monday morning interview, because I know when we hear the numbers that come out, overall, we hear that these stats all the time, crime's up, crime's up, crime's up. But technically, in the first district, they're down since you took over in June. And a CWB continues, absolutely, Harris replied. Yeah, I took over in June, and since then, overall crime is down 44%. That's huge, Cochran replied. Wow, it echoed his co-host. That's huge, WLS, you bunch of chumbalones. According to CWB, CWB listed the Chicago Police Department's own statistical district-by-district breakdown of crime, and it was all a lie. Ouch. I tweeted this out the other night, and I kept looking for WLS to respond, but they didn't. Is silence consent? But Lightfoot is desperate to tell us that she's not all that big a failure when it comes to crime, and she delivers the pizza, and she puts out her through her mouthpieces that her dealing on crime is getting better and better. Yeah, it's improving. Really, Lori? Really? Tell it to the women who have to ride the CTA rapid transit alone to and from work at night. Most of them are minority women. Tell it to them how great it is on the CTA. How crime-free they are now. If CWB Chicago's story is true, and so far I have not heard one complaint, will that police commander be disciplined? Fired for filing a false report? It's in the regulations. Apparently you can't file a false report. Is it okay to lie falsely to media and have WLS or other so-called journals who chatter like empty-headed magpies about speaking truth to power ever demand an accounting from Lightfoot or CPD brass? The people want to know. What I'm hearing is crickets. And even crickets in Chicago tell a story, even though now it's cold, so they're probably dead. But if they were alive, they would be silent. Because if the mayor at City Hall feared political pain for lying to an established media outlet on the critical issue of crime, if City Hall were afraid of lying that badly, 40% reductions in crime. Come on downtown. If they were so concerned about lying, then this wouldn't have happened. But they don't fear media because media is woke now, and they're woke. And they're all essentially on the same leftist page and of the same progressive tribe. Does WLS care? Don Wade wasn't of that tribe. He was the star morning host at WLS back in the day. We met when he began reading my columns out loud on his radio program. If this happened when Don Wade ran Morning Drive, he'd have blistered the mayor's skin with monologues until she came crawling to WLS, pulling the political head of the police commander in a burlap sack behind her. WLS was not squish radio when Don Wade was there. It wasn't combine radio either, going out of its way to mock conservative listeners. It's combine radio now, though. And I don't really care what their politics is. And I don't care that they mock their listeners. It's up to the listeners to decide what they want. You can't lie to readers or listeners. They know it. They sense it. And we're going to talk about this and the Chicago mayoral campaign with Alderman Raymond Lopez not running for mayor, but running for alderman of his 15th ward. And we'll talk with Jeff Carlin, co-host here, WGN producer. Jeff was Don Wade's producer. And I wonder what Jeff thinks Don Wade would have done about that CWB story and the alleged police brass lies. And I'm John Cass, husband, father, editor-in-chief of your favorite website for common sense, johncassnews.com. Subscribe today. Subscribe for a year. You keep subscribing, and I'll keep writing. And where are you with violent crime devouring Chicago, with City Hall spinning its fantasies about crime, with media so broken on its own woke ideological rocks that it won't even hold cops or radio stations accountable? This would have been a story just a few years ago. You're not alone. You're not in the dark. You're here with Alderman Ray Lopez, with Jeff Carlin and John Cass. You're in the No Chumbalone Zone on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
The Chicago Way. That's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
Well, as I said, we have Ray Lopez here, alderman of the 15th Ward, former mayoral campaign candidate, and now he's running for alderman. So if there's anybody who can tell us about this issue of WLS and did the cop lie and CWB and those beautiful crime statistics that appeared out of nowhere on WLS radio, that would be Ray Lopez. Welcome to the Chicago Way again, my friend, Ray.
John, Jeff, great good morning to you. Happy to be back in any capacity.
Yes, happy December. Welcome, Ray. I'm so glad to get you on today, especially with the news of the day, as John was alluding to or talking to in the monologue. And then, of course, the bigger news a couple of weeks ago, you decided you're going to bow out of the mayor's race. And for those who may not have picked up on that earlier, Ray, give us the refresher on your reasoning behind that.
Well, I think, guys, clearly with crime down 92%, the mayor's done such a great job. There's no reason for me to run at 92% crime reduction. So back to life I go.
You were the critic that took the crime issue to City Hall, held her to account. She didn't like it. She hated you. She had some of her media apostles out there smacking you around a bit, calling you a show pony or something. And even though I've seen you face down street gangs by yourself alone, you brought this issue to her. You brought this issue to the people. You deserve some credit for this, Ray. A lot of credit, actually.
Thank you. I think that, you know, I spoke to what was on everyone's mind. And even before the media recognized it as the number one issue, I knew it was the number one issue because I lived that experience and wasn't afraid to stand up for my ward or ultimately for the city. And I think that really changed the dynamic, even in the campaign, even while I was in it, because what you saw was even the lefties tried to pivot to address violence in ways that I found surprising coming from some of the candidates who weren't necessarily law and order types. But at the end of the day, I'm still her number one critic. I have more rented space in her mind than probably her entire family and half the city council. And I intend to keep her feet to the fire for her remaining few months in office, because that's what needs to be done. Chicago needs a city council leader who knows how to not only work government, but hold the administration accountable. And I've done that even this week. Yeah. By citing her ethics violations in her pay-to-play schemes with the Chicago Fire to get $25,000 in contributions. And we could talk about that later as well.
I'm a fire fan,
but at the end of the day, you know, John and Jeff, that politics is about numbers. It's about who gets the most votes to be able to either win outright or win in a runoff. And what I said when I filed is absolutely true. The more people in this race creates a clear and better path for the mayor to ease into the runoff and face a challenger who may be more extreme than her, who may be more to the left of her. And I saw that, and I knew I was right, and I knew that her team saw it the moment she started quoting herself as the rational, sane choice. Nowhere in this universe is Lori Lightfoot rational or sane. And for her to say that means she saw what I saw, was that there was an opening for her to make it into a runoff against someone left of her, possibly someone who wanted to defund police or change the way we deal with criminals even worse, and then come off as the one who could save Chicago when she, in fact, is the one who destroyed Chicago. And I think that whatever people's feelings were, and I'm so thankful to the thousands of people that I met across the city who support and believed in me, is that I know that they were upset and frustrated with my decision, but I think they would have been exponentially more angry and upset if my decision was to stay in the race and it led to her being elected, reelected as mayor.
Well, Ray, a lot of things have changed. One of them is that I haven't received yet your column that you were going to write for John Cass News about being the mayoral candidate. But now that you're not the mayoral candidate, what do I do with that empty space? I've got a hole to fill in the paper, man.
I will write a column called "The Candidate That Was."
There you go.
And I'll talk about where I see the remaining 11 candidates in this race.
That's good.
There's only 11.
I think there's, I thought there were 9, but I don't know.
No.
I don't know. Johnson is how many candidates? One candidate or two? Did he screw himself?
Right. There you go.
I mean, the farther left you go, apparently you can split yourself into several candidates, right? Can't you? It's like a biological issue.
Right, exactly. Right. You can replicate yourself. Yeah. Right. One of the things you're worried about is the calculus, the political calculus, talking about that and trying to get her out because things have just been just not very good under her, although her ads would tell you differently and her police wonks would tell you differently. What do you say when you see someone like a Gator Bradley show up as like her left hand man appearing with that the name? I don't know if you'll be able to see it, but there's photos of her submitting all of her petitions. Ray, what do you make of that?
It's Lori. Wait, before we get into Ray, you should know this, everybody, and if those of you who don't, and I'm sure many of you do, Gator Bradley is the mouthpiece for Larry Hoover, king of the Disciple Nation. He's in prison. So with that as a preamble, nothing wrong against you, Gator, man. I love you, man. We're all cool. but you have to tell people where he's coming from.
Right.
Well, I think I know Gator. I've known him for nearly a decade now. Personally, great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in the political sphere that we're operating in, we have to recognize that not just Gator, but everyone in that picture of her with her stack of petitions, almost the same size as she was. Most of those people were paid to be in that picture, including Gator Bradley. So really? This isn't about a community activist showing up on his own time, on his own dime, to support someone he believes in. This is someone standing with his employer. And no disrespect to Gator. We have plenty of people in a campaign on your staff. It's routine for individuals to hire people, and you fill them in when you need space and bodies. But I don't think anyone should take it as this is just a community leader standing. There were other people in that picture who I see gets paid, I think, almost $11,000 a month by her campaign, standing with her, wearing her shirts, adding to the diversity of the photo. But that's what they're paid to do. And I get it. It's a marketing ploy.
Right.
Right.
And that's all it is.
The difference is, now I've seen it with Rich Daley and other candidates, white candidates. Let's move the black woman here front and center. Mm. Let's move the, you know, the Latino here. Do we have an Asian? Move the Asian here. When you're a white guy running, you have to have all these different food groups, ethnic food groups, you know, in front of you. The difference, though, is Gator Bradley is tied to Larry Hoover.
Right.
And in the old days, when Ray Lopez was just coming up into politics, and when I was already an old man of politics, there was a guy who just passed recently. His name was Tim Degnan, who was Mayor Daley's enforcer, political enforcer. And Tim Degnan, if he had seen like a mobster standing next to, you know, like say some "how you doing" guy from Norwich or something standing next to Rich Daley, he would have moved him out. He would have been in front and said, "Excuse me, what the, you know, bleep do you think you're doing?" With a Chesterfield or something, the camel hanging from his lips as he was talking to him, and two beefy cops on either side.
Yeah, I think that just speaks volumes to the fact that the mayor just does not have the political sense of what's going on or who's in her pictures.
Right.
Yeah, you want to pause for a second?
Yeah, hold on one second.
Yeah.
What are you barking at?
What, you don't want the guy to interact with his dog on your podcast, Jeff? What's going on?
Well, who are this cast of characters, Ray, barking behind you?
Their names,
the three,
please.
That people most see on Twitter or social media, Monroe, Walter, and Lois, my Labrador retriever, Labrador Great Dane, and Labrador Border Collie rescues, who are here with me in the house while we're getting work done.
Excellent. I love it.
He just loves to have vocal dogs because Labradors, as hunting dogs, are extremely vocal. And I'm sure you've got the whining going on like I get from Zeus. You got a lot of whining with those dogs, no?
I get a lot of hugs, a lot of barking. And oftentimes my residents, since they know that I bring at least the three big ones with me to the office, because we have seven total.
Wow.
Oh my God. Okay, I'm going to call my alderman if you're in my neighbor.
But people come to see the dogs more than they come to see me. So that's
well, maybe you could get a companion animal for WLS and Commander Harris, because the other day he was on Steve Cochran's morning show. And at that time, according to CWB Chicago, recognized and authoritative voice on crime. Harris claimed that he had reduced crime by 40% in the first district, when actually it went up 30%. When a senior police official can go on and apparently, according to CWB, lie to the people of Chicago, that means the mayor of Chicago is fine with it. But what does that mean to the people when even the cops are not afraid of lying on WLS? I mean, I could just imagine when I was a host there, Jeff was a producer there. I could just imagine, if you could remember, Ray and Jeff, Don Wade.
Yeah.
If Don Wade
Roman. Yeah.
I could just imagine Don Wade reading that same story, CWB, and coming down, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning to the studios at State Lake and delivering a monologue.
Yeah.
I don't think Lori Lightfoot would have liked it.
Absolutely. I can tell you plenty of times, Ray and John, that working for Don and Roma, that you would take, oh, I don't know, a press release perchance from the police saying, oh, touting any numbers or look at this. And you hand a press release to Don, and Don says, what's this? I don't want this. He's going to tell me all this. This is nothing. I need the truth behind this. That's the difference, in my opinion, is between like a Don Wade and a Steve Cochran. Steve, you can hear in that clip, is just reading back to him the press release saying, oh, you did this? Oh, 40%. Oh, that's amazing. How did you do it? You know,
oh, wonderful. Just,
right. Yeah, and not questioning it, not challenging it. And it's clearly not the reality that people are living in.
Well, John, I'm sure this will come as a shock to you and Jeff, but modern media is not what it used to be. And that oftentimes we see that it's just a regurgitation of the press release as opposed to reporting and fact-finding and doing the actual legwork and, you know, gumshoe work to figure out if the person you're speaking with is actually telling you the truth. Mm-hmm. And we see that more and more. And this is a perfect example of that. This narrative-driven politics that we see in Chicago, where if you just keep repeating the lie, people are going to eventually believe it, comes from the mayor on down.
Yes.
And now we have the police department at the command level trying to spin that same garbage, hoping that people believe it as well. But Chicagoans aren't dumb. They know what their eyes are seeing and what their ears are hearing. They hear the bullets. They see the carjackings. They see the criminality all around them. And someone with a gold star on their shirt is not going to convince them that their eyes are lying to them.
What does it say, though, when people have to make a decision, a critical decision, like their vote for the mayor of Chicago? What does it say when the politicians, political class, doesn't fear lying to the media? Because I'll tell you, I've worked with people who they feared, and I think I was one. You know, I guarantee you that if this guy had pulled this stunt on my show, I would have basically, you would have heard him screaming all the way to LaSalle Street, and the mayor, and if he had gone after Don, if he had done this to Don Wade, the mayor herself would have crawled to the lake, to WLS studios, dragging the head, political head of the offending police officer. And you don't see that now because they don't care, because the media is so woke, they don't care. They don't care.
Yeah, it's even crazy. I mean, the wokeness thing is so a little more modern, you know, incarnation of it. But it started when companies were gutting these media groups and firing people like me, who are the ones who are in charge of finding the facts and finding the actual data points and comparing it to the BS in these press releases and highlighting it and giving it to a Don Wade, who we could then let the people know and ask those hard questions and hold people accountable. But that those days are long gone. I mean, we're talking skeleton crews of people who are just trying to keep the lights on in these stations. And then you have hosts who, you know, don't want to be seen as unfriendly to the politicians. We've talked about this before, you know, because they want the scoop, they want the conversation. And even to an extent, especially with police matters, you don't want to be seen as challenging the police or being negative to police. You know, this idea that if you do that, then somehow you don't support them in the first responders and their mission. And then it becomes a whole other thing. But that's where the wokeism kind of falls into the
case. And Jeff, that's a very interesting intersectionality there that you bring up, because especially for someone like you guys or me, we're not necessarily known for being anti-police.
Right.
We're very much known for being law and order kind of guys. Yeah. And yet we can still criticize the police department because we can call BS when we see it.
Right.
And the only way that I think we all agree is that you restore the confidence in the department is if the department's telling the truth and coming up with solutions or at least acknowledging the problem. Yes. If you have a commander who's trying to paper over the issues to make the boss look good, right, possibly in the hopes of getting a promotion, well, then no amount of friendly or supportive law and order reporting or politicians are going to save you for destroying your own credibility. And I think that is something that we see more and more of, knowing that the newsrooms aren't what they used to be, that politicians, and I'll say this even from the mayor's race, that there were outlets who told me that they had to slow back my presence on TV because they were getting calls from the fifth floor and threats of being pulled out of the newsroom if they gave me too much time to air my grievances.
Really?
So if you're able to allow the politicians to control who you and who and what you report, I mean, that is a direct violation of the Constitution of this country, which guarantees a free press, in my opinion.
Well, who are those? Who were those media outlets that told you that?
There were some mainstream outlets. I'll put it some big mainstream outlets in the city of Chicago who said that.
Any of them with a W in front of their name? Either an LS or
W,
GN or IND or something. Yeah.
Well, WMAQ. I mean, they all start with a W because we're east of the Mississippi River, John.
Right.
Yeah. That's interesting, right?
Yes.
And you're right.
So yes, with a W.
Yeah. You're right. I mean, that is this weird freedom of speech kind of idea. And it used to be in this town that it was, you know, no offense, Ray, but you didn't believe anything a politician said. I mean, I remember as a kid, you know, my dad listening to WBBM, you know, for the morning news and whatnot, and calling out, you say, well, you know, son, you believe, you know, half of what you hear and none of what you see, you'll be all right in this world, especially when it's an elected official, you know. And now those days are gone. You don't even question what they're telling you.
And I think too that part of that is not just the media's fault. I mean, this is how we're raising our children, to have no critical thinking skills. We just take what is given at face value and say, then that is correct. And I think that's a downfall that has to be corrected either in the home or in the classroom. And only one of those isn't unionized.
Oh,
you know, it's tough to see what's happening to Chicago, but part of the way to get out from the hole that the city has dug itself into is to elect responsible leadership. What do you see going on in the mayor's race now that you're no longer a candidate?
I think we're going to see some interesting politics evolve. And I think part of this race is going to be, though that you have several candidates trying to make it to the next round, there's going to be a natural inclination to be a race to the bottom. I don't think you're going to see a campaign that uplifts people. I think you're going to see a campaign that tries to tear each other apart, unfortunately. And I think, without giving away too much for my future column here, I think that there are candidates, if you look at all of them, they come with their own set of pluses and minuses. And the question is, who has more pluses than minuses? Money will be an issue. The dark horse that we've always talked about is, will the governor be joining in and doing another $20 million assist?
Hasn't he already? Someone,
not. I think it's rumored, but I don't think the check has been written.
Which side of 26th Street? Okay, you're Latino, Alderman. Which side of 26th Street is he going to, is Pritzker going to hang?
Well, that's going to be the question.
How's he going to represent? What purple, you know, what colors, like gold and white or something else?
Gee, John, I don't think I caught the reference. Can you be any clearer?
I'm such a jerk, right?
Speak to that. That's crazy, though, right? I mean, think about this. We were just talking about the mayor, you know, having Gator Bradley at her side. And then, you know, let's flash back to, oh, yeah, Chuy Garcia's campaign for mayor got blown up by Phil Ponce because he brought up his son. Like, how far away from
was that
from
Samuel? That Samuel, the 2-6er? Was that Sam?
Yeah, I believe.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, that's
so. I mean,
that's crazy.
I mean, this is where we're at in Chicago right now.
Right.
And I think, you know, how do you have crime as the number one issue and a leading contender for mayor having a gangbanger for a son? I don't even know what wacky world we live in where that even makes sense.
It's like upside down times.
And that's 100% accurate, Jeff. And there have been times I've even asked my husband, I'm like, are we the crazy ones? Because it sometimes feels like we are. Like, because we have a belief in right and wrong, and that we think that there should be certain standards of society adhered to, that we're the crazy ones, because everyone else seems to not give a rat's behind and just say, hey, let's just do whatever we want. And I think we're not at the moment, no matter what anyone says, where we've hit bottom to realize that we have to go back up. Because I think this campaign, like I've said about the administration, every time you think you can't get any lower, we go lower. And I don't think we've hit the bedrock yet.
We haven't. And you know what? Before anyone starts wringing their hands and saying, you're just going after minorities, let me just tell you something. The Chicago Police Department's top man for years, the chief of detectives, the de facto police superintendent, the one who could get you transferred across the city, or, you know, the one who was met as a rock star in every district, every station that he went to, was the mob's man, the mob's jewelry heist guy, detective, chief of detectives, William Hanhart, who used to play mobsters on TV,
right?
Hitman on TV. And so before you wring your hands like, oh, Kaz, you're only against minorities. No.
Right.
I've never been that way. And I remember Hanhart lifting his glass to salute me. It's a styrofoam glass of water in the federal court before he was sentenced. So don't bring me that crap.
Okay? Yeah. Right. And Ray, you alluded to this earlier about the Chicago fire. And I know, John, I'm sorry, be still your heart. But I mean, this is the stuff that just gets washed over and looked over. I mean, the casino deal for this town is just rife with kickbacks, allegedly, and misgivings and insider backroom deals. And Ray, can you give our listeners some insight into what you were talking about earlier in the fire?
Yeah. So, at the September meeting of the city council, a land swap deal giving 26 acres of CHA-owned property to Chicago Fire so they could build a training center on the west side of Chicago was approved. And less than 6 weeks later, 57 days to be exact, Lori Lightfoot received a $25,000 contribution from the team's owner, Joe Mansueto. So there are laws in place that prevent campaign contributions being asked or expected when you're doing business with the city of Chicago. There's an executive order signed by Lori Lightfoot herself saying that no business doing business with the city of Chicago shall be allowed to contribute to her campaign. And yet here we are, cashing a $25,000 check weeks after giving them land aimed at providing housing for residents displaced by the Abla Homes demolition. Yeah,
the council had to approve it. Did the council approve it?
Well, this was a rare scenario, John, where the zoning committee rejected this proposal on a Tuesday. And then Lori Lightfoot pushed the zoning committee to reconvene Wednesday, an hour before city council was to gather, and reintroduced it as a substitute, passed it, and then put it forth to the full city council 2 hours later.
Are you telling me that the zoning, that what is going on? The zoning, the guys behind the zoning, were any of them named Pastries? like from Harlem and Lake Street. Come on, what are you telling me? What are you telling me?
All I know is that it doesn't take a rocket scientist or a former federal prosecutor to know that this looks bad.
Right. I mean, this is the stuff she took a victory lap for, in the first few months of her tenure as mayor, about Alderman Burke, and showing him that she was going to take down the power structure and these backroom Burger King deals.
Jeff, if this was a Burger King on Pulaski with some Irish guy doing it, she'd be all over him. But here it's on the West Side, preventing people from having homes where they used to live in their own communities and giving it to a billionaire for $25,000.
Come on, we need a good soccer team, okay? Come on.
she could have sold them Soldier Field.
Sell them Soldier Field. I don't care.
But the point, I think, too, is that it's not just what she did, John. And let's be clear, Jeff, we just had this conversation about the media. How is it the media didn't even blink when this was done? If it wasn't for me pushing forward after Mick Dumke at ProPublica did a tweet on it, nobody would be even reporting this right now. Chicago Tonight, all the mainstream television, the print, none of them would have reported this as an issue.
I love it when they wring their hands like, oh my God, this happened. Oh,
but the same applies too, guys. When you think about, Jeff, you brought up the casino.
Right.
Nobody was concerned that her budget numbers were off. Right. Nobody was concerned that her revenue was off. Nobody was concerned that her deputy mayor for Baloney, Samir, what's his face, Mayakar, threw out the RFP that was already accepted just so that they could request Bally's to come in as their favored partner, even though somebody already replied to the request.
Ray,
nobody blinked an eye that her campaign contributor and landlord, Al Friedman, who's donated $23,000 in in-kind and direct donations to her, is magically picked as the temporary casino location. Sure, nothing going on here.
And it's more the case of people, like you were saying, that are just taking her numbers on face value and saying, well, look what it's going to do. All these jobs. Look, she worked hard to get it here. And it's all pipe dream. It's all this perfect scenario, which is not even going to come close to do fruition. It's going to be this, the parking meter deals, or it's going to be all this other crap that we're sold and no one challenges.
Is anyone going up to Chuy Garcia? Like, I would say, is the Tribune sticking a microphone in Chuy Garcia's face and saying, what do you think about this, Chuy? Are you going to stand against this? Anybody?
No. No. Wow. Are they asking Chuy to explain why he got FTX Bitcoin money for his reelection with no opponent?
Right. Oh, man.
Wait a second. Wait, isn't Chuy?
John, do we have 2 hours for the show? Because we're on a roll here.
So. Yeah, I know. I thought he represented Pilsen. I thought he had some homeboys, in the media. Like, at least, hey, man, I love you, man. Like, something. Oh, my God.
I love the accent, by the way. Thanks.
you know what? It's I grew up with accents, okay? Changing it from Greek to Mexican is just an inflection point. That's all. It's the same thing. And all the guys like Chuy, like Sava, and all the other butchers that we had at the store, they taught me well. So, what's the next step for Ray Lopez?
For me, hopefully returning back to the city council. We have a new ward with new communities, but thankfully my office has been servicing my new residents in Canaryville, Chicago Lawn, and Gage Park since the map was approved. So I think we'll be in a good spot there, especially considering that one of my opponents is a Democratic socialist. former chief of staff to a socialist alderman who was in full support of burning the city to the ground during the 2020 riots. So you can't make any more of a starker contrast between policy and person.
I'd like to say that's disqualifying, Ray, but I don't know these days.
I would love to have made it a terminable offense when she was a city employee for encouraging that nonsense, but she quit before I could get her. But I think for me personally, you know, I had the great pleasure, guys, of being able to run for several months as a citywide candidate. Yeah. And not to get all gushy, but I got to see many new neighborhoods and meet many new people who most aldermen never get to interact with. And it's really given me a truly global perception now that I look forward to bringing back to the city council, especially as one of its now potentially more senior members, to help guide the body to realize that, yes, there are things that we need to focus on locally, but this body that we call city council needs to start taking a more global perspective. And having seen it and witnessed it firsthand, and understanding how the wards aren't just islands to themselves, but interconnected in this great city of ours, I think it's going to be a huge benefit for not only myself and my ward, but for the city and helping guide some of the legislation there. And of course, using my knowledge of the body that I've gotten from my neighbor, Alderman Burke, who's retiring, to try and guide it now that so much of the institutional knowledge is leaving this body. We need to help make sure that the 30, 40, or possibly even 50% of the new members who are just walking in fresh off the boat, so to speak, understand how to be good aldermen and not just soapbox wannabe congressmen.
Well, to run to be alderman means you put a lot of yourself at risk. You put your life at risk in some respects. I've seen, again, I'm mentioning it, that I've seen with my own eyes our guest here, Ray Lopez, Alderman, 15th Ward, challenge violent gangbangers directly to their face after some of their members were caught riding up and down his ward with long guns. And you know the thing about a long gun? It could kill you from across the alley. All right? And it's easier to aim. And Ray is not a huge man, and he's a lot slimmer than I am. So you're a smaller target. But still, Ray, you stood up to them, and I give you credit for that, my friend.
Nothing's going to change on that front. And I think for that, a lot of my neighborhoods are happy.
And Ray, before we let you go, I got a little personal business, you know, just nothing super. Speaking of the neighborhoods, though, what's the deal with speed tables, like the speed bumps in neighborhoods? I feel like they pop up like weeds in this city. Like all of a sudden, you're just like, oh, why is there a speed bump on this street? Because there's one in front of my house. And I can't tell you every like 3 minutes. It's bump, 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 bump. Like the sound. Like it's just
slow down, man.
Right. Well, it's not me. I mean, I don't, I drive around it, right? I avoid it. But my aunt is, you know, she's in her 80s and she's trying to watch TV and watch her shows. And she's just, it drives her insane, the sound. And no one, there was no petition. There was no like, hey, we're going to, do we need these? Should we put these in? Like all of a sudden they just pop up. What's the deal with that?
Talk to your alderman.
All right.
That's usually where it comes from. Talk to your alderman. But generally speaking, petitions come in handy to give them cover, but rarely do they just randomly just say, I'm going to put it here because I want to be like that.
All right. Well, I'll have to petition my alderman.
And we have to petition this alderman to come back.
Absolutely.
With us again. Ray, thank you so much. And I will not edit you hard when you turn it in, but I do edit every all the guest columns. So it'd be interesting to see what Ray Lopez wants to, how he wants to break down, how he wants to address everything. And that's why you're a reader of the favorite website, johncastnews.com. Thank you, Ray Lopez.
Thanks, Ray.
For being here, man.
Thank you, guys.
Bye, Ben. Well, Jeff Carlin, in the context of the media, what's happened to media and how can people make decisions about their city with the media broken on its own, the rocks of its own woke ideology. Where do you stand? How do you see it before we go?
Just the media landscape as it is now. I mean, yeah. Tom Wade would say too, follow the money. They strip these companies out, so they run super efficiently. They Mitt Romney them, if you will. And it happens to the point where there's no editors. You know, that's one of the things that everyone's missing in all sorts of media establishments is the idea of ethical editors who take the job seriously and realize the power of communication that isn't really understood. I mean, look at things like Facebook and look at things like Twitter that were, you know, they swing in on a whim based on who's running them. And that whim trickles down into this you know, powerful force of communication where people then can be swayed to believe whatever the arbiters want them to believe. And if you look at how Facebook is completely just upended our elections process through misinformation, through removing information targeting, through allowing foreign entities to target people with information that they want. I mean, it's just become so diluted that people don't even know when they're being lied to anymore. And there used to be this idea that at the very least, somebody was in line there to say, this information is not, you know, right. Or if this information is not right, or is information is not provable, they say, hey, you know, they're putting this out there. We can't prove this. So just so you know, take this with a big grain of salt, because we don't know, you know, that we haven't gotten all the truth yet. You know, that used to be out there. None of that happens anymore. It's, oh, look, they said the crime numbers are down. Oh, yay.
Let's repeat it. Yeah, let's repeat exactly. It because Lori would love us if we repeat it.
And
if Don Wade were alive and this had happened to another host on his station, he would have still peeled them. And he would have demanded accountability.
Absolutely.
I'm not trying to take personal shots at anybody there. You don't want to be as conservative as I am. It's okay. You want to be, you know, more of a Mitt Romney Republican. That's your business. But when you participate or are accused of participating in some sort of misinformation scam that's coming from the police department, as per CWB,
mm-hmm.
There's a problem then.
And to that point, I mean, Don Wade would challenge, you know, you said the people in his own office, you know, he would not take it lightly, and not even in the sense of, oh, you're carrying their water as much as, hey, you know, man up, woman up, do your job. You know, your job is not to be their mouthpiece. Your job is to challenge them. Because that's how we get the best of the best, and that's how we don't get screwed, and that's how we wind up, you know, we don't get stupid meter deal, you know, parking meter deals, bad casino deals, or bad deals on fixing Soldier Field.
Or lies about cops.
Right, lies about cops, or even, you know, we...
Either way. There are people out there. Jeff Carlin is one of them that you can trust. I give you my word on that.
Thanks, John. Yeah.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, John. And it's you too, obviously. I mean, that there's this you questioning is not a bad thing.
You want to know a commentator, a reporter, where they stand.
Mm-hmm.
Look at their enemies. Look at the ones who would silence them.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the ones who would slander and shut them up, and then make your determination.
Absolutely.
Anyway, for Alderman Ray Lopez of the Three Dogs, now writing a piece for me, thank you, at johncastnews.com, and maybe I shall pay with you know, some various foods from his new neighborhood, from his new ward. I'm thinking of Iberia Zaragoza, which is one of my favorite taco places at 48th and Pulaski. And for Jeff Carlin, WGN radio producer, former WLS producer for John Cass, and also former WLS producer for Don Wade.
Yeah.
Don Wade great, and Roma. Late yeah. Don Wade and Roma. Yeah. Although she's alive. And I,
yes, she is. Right? Yes, she is.
Okay. And for me, John Cass, husband, father, executive editor, or whatever I am, at johncassnews.com. Thanks for staying with us so long. I know it's been a long one, but we have things to discuss. Join us again, won't you, for a shorter edition next time of the show.